And you know, we are all finding ourselves, we're all dealing with issues. We're all dealing with maybe difficult decisions or disappointments or maybe even disagreements. You know, Brenda and I, when we first got together, you know what? I think I need my notes up here too, Brenda. That's probably a good thing for me to have. Yeah, thank you. We didn't see eye to eye on everything. How many married couples that you've had some issues with before? Raise your hands. Oh, only about half of you. Okay, that's pretty good. You're faring a lot better than what Brenda and I did, and I understand that. That's all good. But, you know, we got to a place as we were going in our relationship, a couple of years in our relationship, that we had this big issue that we had to deal with, this disappointment. She didn't believe the way I believed. And you know what? I'm saying, if you can't believe the way I believe, then I don't think that we need to be together. And so it was very interesting, and we were very passionate about it. We look back at it now, and it's kind of very interesting how we worked things out. Because I knew that this was God's gift given to me, but yet there came a point in our relationship when we were going to, or I was going to make the decision to just step away and back away from it because we couldn't come to an agreement. So there was issues that we had to deal with. And I think that's the only one that we've ever dealt with, isn't it, Brenda? Okay. Well, let's move on real quickly. As you can see, this is part three in our series of Confidence in Crisis. And today, the title of the message, and I kind of changed it up, so don't blame Esther. It was my fault. The title today is How to Handle Disagreements in Relationships. And I think that this is a wonderful passage of Scripture. Let me set the scene here to you. Obviously, Jesse read our Scripture here in Acts chapter 15. It's loaded with a lot of real controversial types of things in this particular chapter. There's actually two disagreements that arise in this passage of Scripture. One of them is the real serious one, right, where they had problems with understanding and coming to agreement on the whole idea of the Gentiles receiving circumcision and following after the old Mosaic law or the covenant, right? And so, obviously, they had a meeting in Jerusalem where when the Gentiles were coming to Christ left and right, but they weren't becoming circumcised or they weren't following after the customs of Judaism. So they had a meeting. They set up a meeting in Jerusalem, and they were able to discuss it, and they came to some agreements that this is of the Lord and that this needs to be done. But there was another disagreement, and it's very interesting. This is where we're going to spend our time this morning, on this particular disagreement between the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. And I think it's very interesting to note, first of all, that the writer, which was in this particular case Luke, only gave one verse to this disagreement. Now, let me tell you, there was probably a lot more that went on in this particular disagreement, but Luke only dedicated one verse to it. Here are some of my thoughts. Why did Paul and Barnabas differ so strongly? Why didn't either one change their mind and side with the other one? And this was all about, remember, John Mark not coming with them on their second missionary trip, remember? And Barnabas said, I want to take John Mark with us. And Paul said, no way. He deserted us in Pamphylia. We're not taking this guy with us because he's not proven. Now, let's back up a little bit. Here's some other insights on this that you probably don't know. It's not necessarily revealed, but if you look through Scriptures, you can see that Barnabas is a cousin to John Mark. And also, not only is he a cousin, later on, we understand, see, that John Mark becomes the writer of the Gospel of Mark. You probably didn't realize that as well. Mark was basically a disciple of Peter, and he was probably one of the 70 that were sent out when Jesus sent out the 70. Remember, he sent the 12, and then he sent the 70 out. So Mark was probably in this group of 70 disciples that he sent out. So we see here that there's some, you know, some great questions that we have. Why did this great team split up? Why did Luke write about this dispute? Why didn't he just choose to say they separated and they went their ways? But there's a reason and there's a purpose that we're taking some time to look at this particular portion of Scripture, because I will say this. Disagreements are always very challenging to deal with. We don't like to deal with them, but they're inevitable. Number one, I'm going to talk about three things, and just keep this on this one point. So we're going to be talking this morning about disagreements happen. Disagreements can be dangerous. And number three, disagreements are solvable, or that there are solutions to those disagreements. So we'll spend our time this morning on these three areas. Number one, disagreements happen. And as I was thinking about this, I've never really taught on this before. And as I was thinking about this, I almost think that disagreements are inevitable. They're going to happen whether you like it or not. And in looking at this and then thinking about my history, my experience of growing up in the church as a little kid, my dad was a pastor. He pastored down in New Baltimore at the Bethel Temple, at the church down there on Main Street. And he was there 9 years. And I just remember as a little kid, I remember my dad saying, "This is our last Sunday." And I'm going, "What?" And I remember as a little kid, I was just torn inside because of the fact that this was going to be our last Sunday. Now, I didn't know anything that was happening, right? My dad didn't divulge any information to me. And obviously, there was a board meeting and there were some disagreements again in the board meeting. I think it really boiled down to, he never even told me this, that we didn't move down to New Baltimore. We were living in Port Huron, and he was commuting down to New Baltimore. And they wanted him to move down to New Baltimore, but financially it wasn't really, we weren't able to do that. So there was decisions and disagreements on this particular issue. And then I started to think, you know, well, my dad moved out. He was more of an evangelist anyway. He wasn't really a pastor. So we moved into the Port Huron Assembly, where I spent a lot of my teenage years. And I noticed that there was some disagreements that happened in that church as well. I'm thinking, my goodness. Then they got a new pastor in, and then, you know, there were some disagreements with that pastor. And then I'm going, what's this all about here? And then, you know, and then I started in ministry, you know, and I don't know if you all know that Karami Snellenberger's dad, Pastor Cletus Snellenberger, who I still consider him my pastor, he had some issues that he dealt with. So it's like, man, are these disagreements following me all over the place? Wherever I go, there's another disagreement. And certainly enough, when Pastor Cletus moved on, you know what, Pastor Randy, there was disagreements there too. I'm just going, wow, is this a pattern? And you know what? I think, as we've said and as we've stated before, in this world, we're going to have tribulations and trials. But in the midst of it, we need to be of good cheer. I can't. In the midst of these tribulations and trials, we need to be of good cheer. Thank you. Being confident, right? Our whole theme on this, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he that's begun a good work in us, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm getting you motivated here this morning. All right, now let's look at this. Here's the verse, right? Paul insisted that we should not take John Mark with them. But we see now Paul and Barnabas kept their disagreement between the two of them. Isn't that interesting? He just kept it between the two of them. I have this this theologian that I like to read. His name is Bob Defimbob. Very easy for you to say. But he has some interesting insights on this particular portion here. Listen to this. These men had personal disagreement, but they dealt with them personally, face to face, so far as we are told, and they did not involve others in the disagreement. Paul and Barnabas did not take their problems personally. They did not let their disagreement alienate them as friends and brothers. But I wish not to minimize the intensity of the disagreement. But neither do I wish to read into the incident a personal falling out. It's vastly different thing when two men to agree to dissolve a partnership in ministry than to have friendships turn sour, developing into some kind of personal animosity. I find absolutely no indication in the New Testament which would indicate the loss of love or respect for each other. I see no signs of bitterness or alienation between the two of them. We're going to see this on a little bit later in point number three when we talk about solving these disagreements. Because it's not necessarily, you have to kind of search through the scriptures to see how this really ended up. But I think it's very important for us, though, to understand, right, that the scripture says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go to him and tell him his fault between you and him. I can't hear you. What was that? One more time? Okay. And if he hears you, you have gained your brother, right? Now, here's the incident, right? You need to go, if you have issues or different disagreements, don't go be telling your brothers and your sisters. You go to them alone if you have issues to deal with. Amen? All right. So let's move on then to really number two. Disagreements can be dangerous. As we see here in verse 39, it says that the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. Can you imagine that? Have you ever gotten into a disagreement that it became so heated, so sharp, that you just said, say, nah, I'm walking away from it. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's very interesting, though, that neither, okay, Paul or Barnabas sought to make this a right or wrong issue. Let me say that one more time. Neither Paul nor Barnabas sought to make this a right or wrong issue. How many times do you know that you're talking to somebody and you almost kind of draw the line in the sand and you have to choose who to believe or not to believe? Why is it that we try to pit, well, I believe this way, I believe, well, I'm not even going to get into doctrine issues, because that sometimes really separates us and we have disagreements, right, between the Calvinists and the Arminians. And that was the issue that really almost separated Brenda and myself. That's something. Because she believed a different way on salvation than I believed. And I was so strongly taught, raised up in Scripture, right, that, no, she was wrong and I was right. So how many times do we do that? We always have to try to draw the line and we have to choose who's right and who's wrong. In this case, this is not the case. I don't believe this was the case. Let me tell you this also. We have another thing that Bob incites here, and I agree with him, is the fact that, you know what, there were two different giftings. The Apostle Paul had this apostolic gift upon him of visioning, planning, sending, and going, and planting. Barnabas had another gifting, another calling, and he was that pastor who was the encourager, the one who come alongside, the one who loved people and wanted to give them maybe the benefit of the doubt. See, we have two different giftings that are involved in making decisions. That's why it's important, even in church situations, that we believe that the fivefold ministry gifts, you know, that Jesus gave to the body in Ephesians, right, chapter 5, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. You know what? We all need to work together. The gifts need to work together so that we can make the body fully strong and healthy in every aspect. It's just not my vision or not my particular gifting. This is what we're going to do. No, let's come and reason together. Let's see what the Spirit of the Lord would have to say. But here's the thing. It can be dangerous. Listen to this. This is what DeFinbaugh has to say on this particular issue of who's right and wrong. How often, when two Christians differ, they try to sanction their actions with texts of Scripture. Each party in the dispute gathers up a collection of proof texts, and the one with the longest list wins. This was not a biblical issue in the sense of that one of the two was doing a biblical thing and the other was not being obedient. Both Paul and Barnabas were right to do what they did and would have denied their convictions and calling to do what they would if they would have compromised their convictions. Isn't that interesting? So they both did what was right. It wasn't right or wrong. They both did what was right in this particular disagreement. They couldn't necessarily agree, so they agreed to disagree agreeably. Does that make sense? There's nothing wrong with that. So then, you know, as we look and as we see this scripture here too, Hebrews 12, 14 and 15, pursue peace with, you're not really fast this morning. Pursue peace with, yeah, now you're getting it. Looking carefully lest anyone falls short, lest any root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble and defiles many. See, what happens is when you start drawing the line in the sand, so to speak, and starting to have to pick and choose who's right, who's wrong on disagreements, then you start going to what? Your other brothers and sisters that agree with you because you got the long list, right? This, you win because we're right and they're wrong. I don't think so. See, then you start allowing that root of bitterness to take root in your spirit, and it grows up, and then it defiles many. And unfortunately, I have been involved with a church that did that. Not a pretty thing, right? That root of bitterness. I was done wrong. Big deal, right? That disagreement, you know, brothers, we need to understand that we need to come together and need to understand. We need to reason together. We need to understand one another and where we're coming from. You know, we see this as an example, right? Cain and Abel, right? There was jealousy in that particular relationship. And then what happened? Something dangerous happened, didn't it? Cain killed Abel. There was another disagreement that, let me see, Saul had with David. Isn't that an interesting disagreement that they had? And jealousy was also a part of that disagreement. And David and Saul tried to kill David how many times? I mean, unbelievable. But David would not touch God's anointed. David did the right thing. David could have, remember, could have killed him. He cut off his robe when he was sleeping, if you remember, and showed it to him and said, is this a part of your robe? So anyway, these types of things, let me think, another one. Oh, I know. Jesus versus the religious leaders of the day. You think they had a disagreement? And really, it's dangerous, right? Because when you're, again, going against God, boy, ultimately, the Jewish people have had to suffer greatly because of that decision. It's dangerous, right, to disagree. Can be. Can be dangerous to disagree. So, you know, we need to understand that as we move along, and I'm moving as fast as I can because I see Brenda down there going like this to me. So we're going to move to our last point here. Disagreements are solvable. Say that. Not soluble, but solvable. Say that. Disagreements are solvable. You can solve disagreements in a very positive way, right? We see here in verse 39 and 40, it says, Barnabas, excuse me, that's a wrong spelling. It should be an A, not a U on Barnabas. Barnabas took John Mark or Mark to sail to Cyprus. And we know that basically Cyprus was won for the gospel's sake because of that move, because of the separation. Cyprus came to Christ because of Barnabas and Mark. And then Paul chose Silas, and then they departed. Now, here's the very important two words. They departed, being commended by the brethren. Say that. Being commended by the brethren. So the council, the brothers that were over him spiritually, commended this separation and this split. They commended them for this aspect. And so we have an agreement, even though that it doesn't look good from the outside, and really only one verse is dedicated to it. Believe me, there was probably a lot more that we don't see or don't know because we're not able to read into all of what happened in that particular situation. But I love this. Paul and Barnabas resolved the issue amicably. And look at this. They proved it by working together again years later. Now, if you were to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, you'll see that Paul mentions Barnabas as working together. I thought that's very interesting. This is years down the line, right? So we see that this issue that caused this disagreement didn't separate them as friends. It just separated them for a moment because, you know what, they're probably thinking, what was that we separated for in the first place? So we make such a big issue of these things at the present time. But years down the line, things will prove out to be so. And then also in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, if you go to that, there's also reference for Paul and Barnabas working together in Colossae. That's very interesting to know. You don't see that, and you don't, when you're reading through the scriptures, you don't think, okay, now let me think. Well, they separated back in Acts, so this is where they're at today. Now, here's a beautiful, there's in 2 Timothy 4:11, we see now John Mark. Now, Paul, the very issue of the disagreement, we see here, it's about 12 years, approximately 12 years later, when Paul is in Rome, and he's imprisoned in Rome, Paul writes and sends this letter to Timothy saying, please send John Mark or send Mark back to me because he is valuable to me. Isn't that interesting? So the very guy, the very problem that they had a dispute over, John Mark, was the one at the very end that was together. They worked together. They were able to solve the disagreement agreeably and move on in the kingdom. Isn't that a powerful, powerful particular point of scripture? Our theologian, Definibaugh, says, Paul and Barnabas saw the matter through to a resolution. These two men stuck to their convictions, and neither was willing to change. But they did come to a solution. It was separation. To go on the two separate missions, but ultimately this was the solution. The problem did not continue to fester. So I think that's a really important aspect that we see here, that Paul and Barnabas did catch on a little bit later. We can go to this next scripture here in Matthew. And Jesus says this in this particular portion of scripture. This is a great little portion of scripture as well. Jesus solved the dispute between his disciples about who would sit on his right and left hand in his kingdom. Do you remember that? Do you think that they had some disagreements there? There was probably some heated issues that Jesus had to deal with his disciples there. But he quickly took care of that and said, okay, who wants to be the greatest? Those who would serve the most would be the greatest in the kingdom. How many want to be a servant? Oh, boy, I'm pretty weak. I can't. Do you really want to be a servant? Do you want to be a servant? All right. If you want to be a servant, stand. Okay, sit down real quick. Don't want to embarrass everybody. But isn't that something that Jesus did? And let's go to this next scripture here too. Very important scripture. Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with... Catching on. Live at peace with... One more time. I can't hear you. Okay, there you go. I like that. Live at peace with everyone. Even when we don't get along? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have opportunity after opportunity. I'm in the jail. I work with people that hate my guts. And they let me know it, too. And I say, well, thank you. They think that they call me the God guy. There's certain people in there call me the God guy when I come in to do ministry. And it's not necessarily meant in a nice way, but I'm the God guy. And I'll be a God guy anytime you want to call me the God guy. You can call me whatever you want to call me. I love you, care about you. So we need to understand that in every situation, the next one is real powerful in Ephesians here, chapter 4, verses 31 through the first or second verse, actually, of chapter 5. It says, and this is taking excerpts out of it, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, quarreling, evil speaking be put away from you. But be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God. Walk in love as Christ has loved us. And I think, didn't Jesus say this? And he taught us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Forgive us, Lord, of my sins. Forgive me of my faults. And also let me forgive those that have sinned against me. So when we wrap this up, it kind of looks like this. Let's bring it on home. Do you have any disagreements that are affecting relationships today? In fact, you know what? Let's just bow our heads. Let's just look internally here for a moment. And Sonia, why don't you come up here and just play something softly here. Wrapping up this morning, obviously, this is easier said than done, right? Is there anybody in here that is dealing with disagreements with other individuals that's affecting, you know, your relationship? You know what I'm saying? You know what? And thank God, I will say this, through all of my issues of dealing with church problems and disagreements and so on and so forth, I can tell you that even years, it took me a couple of years or more, as I've said, to really get past what I thought was a real huge disappointment and disagreement in my life. But I thank God that as you continue to pour out your heart to Him, say, God, man, I shouldn't live this way. And I'll tell you this, sometimes I've prayed that prayer, and boy, next the following week, it come back again. It haunt me again. Lord, if I didn't mean it last time, I mean it this time. Sometimes you have to deal with that over and over and over again. We got to get our stinking thinking corrected. How are you handling those relationships that have been affected negatively with these disagreements? Are you handling them all right? Last question is, how can you bring peace to the situation? Do you dare humble yourself and go to the individual, confront them one-on-one, face-to-face, and say, you know what, I've had some things in my heart, I got to get clear. I've had that happen. A lot of people come up to me and share they've had things against me. Yeah, I thought I was perfect, but I guess I'm not. You know what? We as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to live a life that's always transparent. We need to live a life that's walking in humility, always thinking the best, believing the best about individuals. And if we have issues of disagreement with people, you know, we need just to take care of them so that we can continue to move on. See, because the enemy wants to keep us there. He wants to keep us hostage in that place of bitterness. And you will not be able to grow and mature in Christ if you just stay stuck on bitterness, disappointment, disagreements. It's okay to disagree. It's okay. There's no problem with disagreeing. But let's move on in love, believing that God has a greater plan for us. If you're there just sitting and you're just wanting to say, God, help me, I want you to just stand to your feet. If you're there and the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to your heart about just standing and acknowledging that you need to act on that issue that you're dealing with, all right? God knows exactly where each and every one of you are at. And Father, in Jesus' name, you see my brothers and sisters. My heart goes out to people. I pray, God, that you'd bring resolution, that you would solve these issues that we deal with and disagreements, that we would do it in a godly fashion. We do it with humility. God, I pray that you'd bless each one here at Grace Ministries. Thank you for the privilege of allowing me to come and be a part of this family for a season. We pray, Lord, that your will be done here in Grace Ministry Center as it is in heaven. Let it be done here, Jesus, we're asking. Not looking out at any other churches. We're a part of the body of Christ, yes, and Lord, we recognize that. But Father, help us today to move on to the greater call that you have called us to. Lord, we thank you this morning. We praise you this morning because you are a good God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's sing.